Armamentarium of booby traps came with the prodigal ministers, of course. But none of those were clever enough to inconvenience Soulcatcher herself. Quite a few greys were not so fortunate. The Protector took rather a heartless view of those who did fall victim to the company legacy.
Better to get the dimwits winnowed out now, when the broader risk is minimal, she told Mugaba.
The great general's attitude complemented hers precisely. Questions asked in the neighborhood produced no information of substance, however vigorously they were put. The Nuangbo merchants had been careful to maintain a veil around themselves and their businesses. They had even employed the magical in their quest for greater anonymity. Wisps of confusion spells persisted yet.
"I smelled those two wizards," Soulcatcher muttered. "But you promised me that they were dead, didn't you, great general?" "I saw them die myself."
"You'd better hope you don't irritate me so much you don't survive to see them die again for real."
Her voice was that of a spoiled child. The great general did not respond. If Soulcatcher frightened him, he showed no sign. Neither did he betray any anger. He waited, reasonably confident that he was too valuable to become the victim of an evil caprice. Perhaps, in his heart of hearts, he thought the Protector was not equally valuable.
"There's no trace of them,"
Soulcatcher mumbled later in a voice academically cool.
"They're gone."
Yet the impression of their presence persists, as bold as a bucket of blood thrown against a wall.
"Illusion,"
Mugaba said.
"I'm sure you'd find 100 instances in the Black Company annals of where they drew an enemy's eye in one direction while they moved in another. Or made someone believe their numbers were far greater than they actually were."
"You'd find as many instances in my diaries, if I bothered to keep any." "I don't, because books are nothing but repositories for those lies the author wants his reader to believe."
The voice she used now was the antithesis of academic. It was that of a man who knew, from painful experience, that education just taught people sneakier ways to rob you.
"They aren't here anymore, but they may have left spies."
"Of course they did. It's doctrine. But you'll have a hell of a time finding them. They won't be people anyone else would suspect."
Jal Barandandi and two of his assistants laid out a dinner while the Protector and her champion talked. The presence attracted no notice. Paranoid, though she was, Soulcatcher paid little heed to the furniture. Every staffer had been interrogated in the hours following the Radish's disappearance, and no inside accomplices had been found. The Protector was not unaware that she was not as beloved of the staff as the Radisha had been. But she was not troubled. No mundane attacker had any genuine hope of penetrating her personal defenses, and these days she had no peer in this world. Sheer perversity and protracted elusiveness had put her in a position to elect herself queen of the world, if she wanted to bother. Someday, when she got her head organized, she was going to have to think about that. Halfway through a rare meal, Soulcatcher paused in mid-chew. She told Mugaba,
"Find me a Nuangbo. Any Nuangbo. Right now. Right away."